After 2 years in the Tree Ratna, I decided that the very helpful system of KM would support my sometimes doubtful progress towards deeper spirituality. So I cast my mind round, and I'm so fond of Vijayamala that I thought, she's much too busy, shouldn't really ask her, went ahead and asked her. And to my delight, she actually said yes. And I also asked Tara Vandana, and we had a beautiful ceremony. And the gifts I've had are absolutely wonderful. Every 2 years I seem to be in hospital for a serious operation, and there are always phone calls. Doesn't matter how long Vijayamala has to wait on the phone. Somebody comes to get me, and it's absolutely wonderful, and visit me too, even when it's painful for her. I've still got a big pot of lavender scented cream from the last visit. And the other great thing that they have both given me was to publish my poetry about 2 years ago. I spoke about it at the convention then. And poetry is almost as important as the Dharma. So that was the most wonderful gift. Priyavardita, I get the most beautiful cards that Vijayamala has made herself frequently with some of my qualities. And I can't bear to throw them away, and just occasionally I show my family, just in case they don't realise. And talking about stickiness, Vijayamala has nobly undertaken at various times. Some years ago, she was asked to point out that I could be more mindful, and she did it so mindfully that, although it actually hurt, I realised just how wise it was. Since then, I have been working on it. And she has lent me her online course for the Breathworks, which says, remember to be mindful for 1 minute every hour. Just to keep me working on it. I may say it's something I don't quite manage every hour, but if only I remembered to set my alarm. When I was on retreat with her only a fortnight ago, which was lovely, I merely happened to notice that she was running a retreat, didn't even notice what it was. I thought, oh good, I have more time with my KM. In the final interview, she pointed out to me very kindly that I spend rather too much time thinking about helping family and friends rather than myself. And she's quite right. But she was so upset that maybe she'd said too much that I then had to reassure her that no, not only had she not gone too far, but she was, whoopsie, perfectly correct. So, using kindly speech in a challenging way that was really so metaphor that I was grateful. And beneficial activity. Well, the reason I got to know Vijayamala really well at Manchester was because I was one of the first to do the Breathworks course. I was in a great deal of pain, and it was tremendously helpful. And of course, it's so much like the Dharma. I mean, the way in which you teach the loving kindness meditation is the metta bhavana. Pacing ourselves is something wise to do anyway, even if we're not in pain. And that was so helpful, I then did it again a few years later. And I'd noticed how much you'd honed some of the techniques and made them more helpful. And I have the CDs so that if ever I can't sleep, it's your voice that helps to send me to sleep. Mind you, your voice also says, now don't let yourself go to sleep doing this. Body scan, nevertheless, it's usually fairly successful. At least it takes away any feeling of anxiety. And now Vijayamala's given me some more beneficial activity, which is to put me online at, on the Breathworks course, which I may say is really helpful, daily body scans and meditations, and joining with the group, if only I could use the voice thread a little bit more successfully. My IT skills aren't quite as developed as I sometimes wish, although I've gone to courses. And, finally, for exemplification, I thought to myself, there's just so much in the way Vijayamala is. Well, first of all, her lovingness always to me, her ability to see the potential in other people, well, in everybody, for moving towards enlightenment. In fact, I always recommend going to work for Vijayamala to people if they actually want to get ordained, because it seems to be a very helpful step, as she can see our potential. And she was saying to me yesterday that actually it's not difficult for her to see that potential, while at the same time she can see the stickiness really, really clearly, and be with people, which is helpful. So, I mean, for me, the one of the exemplifications is actually living so well with pain and being able to live with telling people when you're getting tired, which I do find very difficult, because it seems I'm having to come back to me and my body. But Vijayamala gives really good examples of how to do with that. And another one is her real love of literature, passing around her books, and, I mean, introducing me to some wonderful writers like Malouf, that was the last present, and the amount of writers we share because of this, and that's another way in which we can go deeper. So this example of the way you can get so much enjoyment out of the things that do help deepen our Dharma practice is something that I'm deeply grateful for, and above all the fact that it's just so good being with you, chatting with you, and I'm just so delighted that
But did you finish your sentence?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Aryamati. Let me just swap over. So I made a request to go last, because I'm going to ambush Aryamati and rejoice in her merits. I thought if I went first, then she would spend her 20 minutes ambushing me in some embarrassed way. That's interesting, isn't it? That KM relationships are vertical. That's the theory. But I would say in my case, case of my relationship with Aryamati, that's nominal, and that I get as much from her as she gets from me. And in many respects, I consider Aryamati one of my teachers. It's a very, very delightful friendship, very positive friendship, and giving and receiving. And we're very, very different, very, very different conditioning. I'm from New Zealand. I'm 20 years younger, more or less, than Aryamati. She told me the other day that her mother was heavily pregnant in Poland, with a Polish husband, English mother, Polish father, and she came out on one of the very last ships before Hitler went into Poland. So she was, her early years were through the war, and my early years were in New Zealand in the 60s, which really was a Devaloka. So we've got this very, very different life experience, and yet because of our commitment to the order and our love of the Dharma, we've got so much in common. I love that. I love that about Kalyana Mitratar, that often you come together with people that you may not otherwise have a strong friendship with, and then come to very deeply love that person and learn from them. Yeah. So on an international retreat here a few years ago, Bhante gave a talk at the end that really struck me, because he commented on how he meets many, many people from within our tradition, many order members and mitras and other people. And he was telling us how he struck how many people have a very sincere and effective practice. He was really, I think, wanting to make that point, that out there in the midst of our Sangha, there's a lot going on that's effective and impressive. He was communicating confidence. But what he explicitly said is that many of those people he meets are not high-profile people. They're not the people who are giving the talks, having the high-profile, high presence in our tradition, which I thought was fantastic that he said that. So he presented this impression of many remarkable people in our tradition who are quietly practicing, quietly getting on with it, quietly making real progress. And, you know, he seemed to be touched by that and really wanting us all to know that. So that's why I'm so happy today, because I can introduce you to one of these people. Yeah, because Arimati isn't, perhaps you don't know her that well, but she's really remarkable, and she lives up to her name, which means noble mind. Maitreyi ordained her noble mind, and she has indeed got a very, very noble mind. And I've always said about Arimati, she's got a very pure heart. That would have been noble mind, pure heart. She's got both of those things. So in terms of the four Sangrahavastus, I'm not really going to talk about them explicitly, but because I think she just lives out all four of them in the way she is in her life. She's like a sort of living Sangrahavastu thing. Sangrahavastu flow. Yeah. She's very generous, extraordinarily generous. I'll tell you more about that. She's extremely positive, and she's always expressing gratitude. If she expresses harshness, she regrets that instantly. She's very ethically aware and sensitive. Her life is a dance of beneficial activity. I would say your whole life is beneficial activity, Arimati. Well, I don't know what you get up to in private, of course, but what I witness is a dance of beneficial activity. And I think you really exemplify what it means to lead a Buddhist life. You know, you really exemplify that very strongly. So dana, I would just say a little bit about that explicitly, because it's outstanding in Arimati, her dana. She lives very, very simply. She lives in a council flat. She doesn't have a television. She spends her evenings either at the Buddhist centre or reading literature, listening to Radio 3, probably, or listening to Dharma talks, or writing poetry. I think that's pretty much what Arimati does with her spare time. That's so impressive, isn't it? She gives time, energy, money, and the Dharma. And she doesn't just give to Buddhist world. She's absolutely passionate about making the world a better place for the sake of all beings. She tells them about her meditation sometimes, and she gets kind of a bit overwhelmed, I think, worrying about Syria and that kind of thing. So she's always bringing in sort of world conflicts into her meditation practice, not kind of how can I be happier, but how can I make the world a better place. Yeah, that's amazing. I think you do get a wee bit overwhelmed sometimes, but nonetheless, isn't it impressive to even think about Syria in your meditation practice? She's a great lover of Amnesty International. She's always shoving petitions in front of one to sign for Amnesty International. She belongs to poetry groups, and I would guess, she hasn't told me this, but I bet she's got a lot of standing orders to charities. Are we nodding? Good. Yeah, so she's just always giving, giving, giving. And maybe this is to do with her having her early years being the war, you know? Just she's experienced first-hand conflict, and I think you've got quite an insight into how unstable the world is, and that we can, those of us who have lived 3 years of peace, we can take it for granted. But I think you really know very directly that it's all hanging on a thread, and we have to do all we can to make the world a safe place, or as safe as possible. And she's always giving to others, as we had this little chat lately about maybe that's to a fault. And so you're working on that, aren't you? Just just backing off a wee bit, because even if Arimati backs off a wee bit, she will still be incredibly generous to other people. And I'm going to say this, she really won't like me for saying this, but she's about to give several hundred thousand pounds to two Tri Ratna charities. And that in itself is extraordinary. But what is even more extraordinary is the manner in which she's doing it. Because there's no flavour of, look at me, aren't I generous? It's just, well, of course, what else would you do? You know, you give money to the causes that you feel you can benefit. And she's got this money, so she's giving it away. And I find that really, really inspiring. Yeah. Just like for you, it's the obvious thing to do. It's amazing, isn't it? How many?
You've had 8 minutes.
Okay, good. So I'll just say a little bit about her other qualities. So last year, she's got an adult son with learning difficulties. He's maybe in his 30s now. And last year, he got very serious cancer. I mean, it was terrible, very, very bad diagnosis. And he wouldn't be here now without Arimati's legendary tenacity. Arimati's tenacity is absolutely legendary. Got to feel quite emotional. If she wants to do something, it will happen. She will just go on and on and on and on until it happens. So she did this with the surgical and medical teams. They were giving up on her son. And he had major surgery and he's still alive. But there's more, yeah? And that was so extraordinary. God, I feel emotional. A few months earlier, Arimati had herself had really, really major surgery. So this was not a well and robust woman who was taking on the NHS in London. This was a very frail, physically frail. She's never been emotionally or mentally frail. She never will be, but she's physically frail. She'd had this huge operation. And at her lowest, when she was in hospital in Manchester, Diane Andy and I went to see her, and she was incredibly ill. I mean, I wasn't sure if she would survive, to be honest. And she lay in this hospital bed, and she said what was really distressing her was that she couldn't feel her going for refuge. That was the thing that was most upsetting her. It wasn't, you know, the awful care she was getting, which was truly awful. It was, I can't feel my going for refuge. But that was so moving. And she survived because of the tenacity of a doctor in our Sangha. And I find that's karmic. I'm sure that's karmic. Arimati fights for others, so other people fight for Arimati. So this doctor in our Sangha absolutely tore strips off the medical team in Manchester, and she got the right care, and she survived, so she's here now. So I think that is very much karma vipaka, Arimati. Mm. You know, tenacity pays off with tenacity back. And your tremendous life force. And there's more. So she was frail. She went to London to look after her son, take on the NHS. And her family was ripped apart by hostility and anger through that whole time. And Arimati never went under. Isn't that extraordinary? Here she was recovering from major surgery. She had a child who was nearly dying. She had incredible anger in her family. And she never went under. She kept on saying, I have to just send them karuna. I have to send them metta. They're suffering. I have to send them compassion. Amazing. She went to the LBC when she was down there. Don't know how she got there. What sort of energy it took to get out of the house and get to the LBC. But she knew she needed those conditions. She listened to lots of body scans. I don't mind if she went to sleep. As a way of coming back to herself. And now things have settled down. Her son's still alive. She's getting her strength back. Life moves on. And I think Arimati's got a tremendous amount of wisdom. It's a bit like that was just waves on the ocean. It was very traumatic and troubling. But she's been through a lot of other things in her life. So life rolls on. You got the waves. You ride the waves. And there's the wisdom of just seeing its impermanence playing itself out. Just to conclude, in Manchester, Arimati probably goes to the NBC more than any other order member. I haven't got the stats, but that would be my impression. She's there all the time. She doesn't need to be up front, and she doesn't need a role. She goes there to put herself in positive conditions. See, I find that very, very inspiring as well. It's not, look at me, I'm an order member. It's, look at me, I'm a human being who wants to place myself in positive conditions because I know that the three jewels are the nectar for humanity. And the way to overcome suffering. She just loves the Dharma and she loves Tri Ratna. She loves Bhante. But I think it takes a lot of wisdom to know that the most important thing is to put yourself in positive conditions. I mean, how many of us do that, really? But Arimati completely lives by that belief. Put yourself in positive conditions and then you can flourish and grow. And that's indeed what I've witnessed over the 20-odd years that we've known each other. That I've seen Arimati really, really change. And The thing I love now is she's very loved in Manchester. A lot of people really love Ari Mati. She's very, very loved at the centre, and people see that wisdom. And she's extraordinarily positive, and her body is decaying, let's face it. Her bones are not good, and her eyesight's now giving her a lot of trouble. She never complains, but she's living in a body that is not an easy or pleasant place to be. But still she shines on. And I don't know what it's going to take to keep Ari Mati away from the NBC. We'll be carrying her in on a stretcher, I'm sure. You know, she just so wants to put herself in those conditions. So I feel so happy I've had this opportunity to tell you about Ari Mati, because I think she is really one of the great exemplars in our order of what it means to live a Buddhist life.